to be here again, and Laurie's here as well. That's great. Look, I didn't pick this this reading. This is your boss. He's picked it, and he demanded that I have a bit of a go at it. Now, I'm really hoping that the guts, the focus of that reading doesn't have much applicability to us. I'm talking about the guts of it, because it, at heart, it's really all about Christian people who treat one another very badly. So you can see why I'm hoping that there's no relevance. I think it might be helpful is to think of it something like a flu shot. You don't want to get the flu, so you try and prevent it beforehand by taking a flu shot. We don't want to be found in the situation where we're nasty towards each other, and I'm genuinely hoping that there's no one here today who's actually nasty, very nasty, towards other Christian people or towards people generally. So in a sense, we can take what we're looking at as a sort of a flu shot. It's good to listen to, it's good to think about, so that down the track, when we might be tempted to behave very badly, we'll remember. We'll remember, and we won't. When you look at what James has written, and I take it you're going through the book of James, and this is just the next section, right? When you look at this particular part of it, it's written with some heat. It's not as though James says, oh, look, I'll, you know, point A, point B, point C, point D, have you got it? You know, no, he's a bit like a school mistress or a schoolmaster who's got a class before him, and he's pretty angry. He's pretty annoyed, and so his words come out punctuated, full of thrust, pretty heavy-handed, pretty dynamic, some very strong words are used, and it's not all in a neat order. So having said all that, let's see what we do with it. I think that basically you can sort of see that the little passage we read falls into four bits. The first bit is treating one another badly, getting on with one another badly. The second bit, and I'm being a bit rough on this, the second bit I think we might say is, well, in effect, treating God badly. I think the third bit we could roughly classify as, well, how do we make things right with God? And then the fourth bit, with a bit of a punch at the end, how do we get right with one another? So what's the basic problem? Well, we can't be sure. When you read Paul's letter to the Romans, there's a section towards the end where Paul talks about Christian people judging one another, being very hard on one another. And in that case, it's almost certainly Gentiles, Christians, who are being hard on Jewish people because of their food laws, their food restrictions. And I can imagine a Gentile, and let's try and make it relevant here, saying, why on earth does she do that? Like, goodness me, it's ridiculous. And you start talking about her or him behind their back about something that they're doing. I think also Jewish people didn't treat Gentile Christians sometimes very kindly either. It was sort of reversed. Like, why aren't they behaving, you know, very religiously and properly the way that we're supposed to? Now, I don't know whether you ever feel tempted to think about some Christian people like that. Like, and it may be that in a sense you might be partly right. That can be part of the problem. But then how do you go about trying to address the problem? Like, are we really interested in trying to help one another? Are we really interested in trying to be kind to one another? That's the issue. Or do we just, we're so self-focused. This is the first one. We're so self-focused. It's all about us, all about me, my esteem, my status, and I can slam it on other people. I can slam it on Christian people. I can point out their faults. I can point out their errors. Oh, it's great to be as important and as righteous as I am. I think that's the heart of it. Now, look, at the moment, I actually know of two churches, not Christchurch and Ives. I know of two churches where there has been some very, very bad behaviour. In one case, two part-time workers or full-time workers, I'm not sure of their actual status, they've actually had to go on long stress leave. They're not able to cope with what's been happening. It does occur in churches. And I think James actually, he puts it down to this very self-centered. Oh, by the way, you can behave very religiously. You're a praying lot, says James. But you pray for the wrong things. You pray out of bad motives. So you can appear very religious in your antagonism towards other Christian people and yet be entirely wrong yourself. It's so self-orientated. It's so self-focused. That's roughly the first part. Well, what James goes on to say is something like this. When you behave like this, you're actually committing adultery. Oh, by the way, the words aren't they very strong? We've made them a bit easy in the first part. You are at war with one another. And actually uses the phrase which you would use for committing murder. You murder one another. Now, you say, well, hang on, no one's murdering anybody. And nobody's actually taking up arms. No, says James, it's that serious that I'm prepared to use that language. The way that you are conducting yourselves is so abominable and so destructive of people. Anyway, then, how do you get on badly with God? Well, he uses now another metaphor, a very powerful metaphor. He said, you're committing adultery when you behave like this. You say, well, hang on. There might be someone committing adultery, but goodness me, what, a lot of people committing adultery that you're addressing this to? No, it's powerful metaphor for you are actually behaving unfaithfully towards God. You're supposed to be God's children, God's servants. And look at the way you're behaving, just as though you were wedded to someone else. You're wedded to the world, that's the problem. You're behaving like the world behaves. You know, you want to behave that way? Well, then you're an enemy of God's. See how striking his words are there. I mean, from our point of view, I take it this morning, we'd say, they're over the top. But he regards the matter as so serious. So he says, you're just behaving in an abominable fashion. You deserve God's wrath. You deserve God's anger because you're unfaithful to him. You're in love with the world. You want to go the world's way. What else does he say there? A couple of things I think I'm just missing out on there. I don't have my glasses with me. That doesn't help much either, does it, sometimes? Okay. Do you think... this is a little bit of a tricky part. He mentions Scripture. He brings in Scripture to sort of give them some sort of an idea of where he's coming from. And the very next few words which occur after his mention of Scripture... No one can find in Scripture. No one can find in the Old Testament. See, I think what's happened is he's writing in a very heated manner, and he actually thinks about the verse he's about to sort of make a reference to, but then he wants to say something else about it just before he gets there. And he says, you see, the situation is that the Spirit that God has given you, he's jealous. He's jealous of the way you're behaving. You're offending God himself. But it is true nonetheless that as powerful as this envious spirit that you've created within you, as it were, God's spirit has now become envious. You've created the envy. Oh, God's grace is greater. God's grace can overcome this terrible situation in which you've found yourselves. And then, finally, he ends up quoting from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, as we would designate it. What does he quote? God opposes the proud. Yes, I had grace on my mind, says James, and so I've got to finish it off because that's where we've got to go in the end. We've got to actually appeal to the kindness of God to get us out of this mess, but gives grace to the humble. He opposes. Look, brothers and sisters, it really is one of the most important pieces of Scripture. It's something we need to believe. See, the problem is, when we behave badly towards one another, we're not thinking. We're not taking on knowledge from God. We're just so self-orientated. We don't think about the realities out there, and the reality is this. God is not on your side, is what James says to us. He opposes you when you are so self-occupied. You are so self-centered. Wake up, man. Wake up, woman. That's the sort of way he's treating us. But his kindness, his grace, is towards those who humble themselves before God. And so he moves on to the third section, as I've tried to sort of categorize it. He moves on to the third thing. So see, this is what in fact we must do. We must indeed come before God, and we must recognize what we're like. One of the things he says is, you really need to actually change your mind and change your actions. In other words, you can't just think about these things and say, oh gosh, yeah, I've not been doing... No, he says, you must change your mind, you double-minded. You want to live in both worlds. You want to behave as a Christian person, you want to behave as a worldly person. Well, stop all that nonsense and change your mind. Change your attitude about your brother and your sister and the way you behave towards them. Listen to the words of Scripture. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So change your mind and change your actions. Do something about it. Get the problem solved. Don't let it just lie there or imagine it'll go away by itself. See? Change your mind. Change your actions. Got to do something about it. Because he's sort of applying the verse to himself, because God gives grace to those who humble themselves before him. And then what are we going to do when we've actually offended our brother or our sister, when we've treated them so badly? Well, he says, this is what you've got to recognize. When we slander, that's the sort of notion that's used, when we slander, pull down our brother and our sister, this is a strange way of arguing, I think, for many of us to think on and take on board, but let's work with it. When you do that, you're actually judging the law of God itself. Now, I think what he's got in mind is this. You are so self-conceited, you are so self-occupied, that you're standing, as it were, as though you were a judge. And when you act as though you were a judge, you're actually putting yourself outside of the law. The law is there, and you actually use the law, as it were, because it's beneath you. He says, you've got to stop this slander. You've got to stop it because you are not above the law. And only God is above the law because he gave the law. He's able to save and destroy. Why would he put the word destroy in there? Because he wants to frighten the daylights out of us. Make sure you don't treat your brother and your sister like this. You change your mind, you change your actions, yes. And you come before them. You do not treat them the way you've been treating them. Only God is the lawgiver. And he saves. And he destroys. Now the punchline right at the end, it's this heated sort of position that James is adopting. This is what he says to us. Who do you think you are? We've got to listen to it. Who do you think you are that you treat your brother and your sister in such a manner? Look, the reality sometimes of the way some of us live is that we just don't take on board these things that James was writing about. It's almost as though, you know, we can sit in our pews and we can hear someone talking about it and we say, oh, it's nothing to do with me. It's people over there. In principle, it can have to do with any of us. In principle, at any time. It is so easy to fall into the trap of standing, as it were, as a little judge about our brother and our sister and pulling them down. Not seeking to help them, not seeking to... you know, perhaps help them to see how better they should understand God and their relationships with people. No, this is all to do with nastiness. And unfortunately, some of us, because of the way we've been brought up, because of the influence of others on us, we've actually learnt to be nasty. And it's a sort of a habit, it's a way of thinking that's difficult to break. But it's James' final word to us. Who do you think you are that you would slander and so be judgmental towards another brother or a sister? Well, there you go. Wow. As I said, I hope it's got no relevance. Well, it's got to have relevance in terms of, if it doesn't have direct relevance for us now, down the track, or as things change within our thinking and behaviour, perhaps we'll remember some of the words of James today. Got any comments? Got any questions? Ideas? Oh, I thought I saw a hand go up, but it was just scratching the side of the chin. Yes. Sorry, I can't even see who's talking to me. Oh, right at the back. Yep, sorry. That's... I'm not hearing you very well. Why don't you come down? Come on. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm just not good.
Maybe my fault.
No.
So it's subjective. Judgment to one person is correction to another.
Ah.
You stand idly by and watch your brothers and sisters stray from the path.
Yes.
So you have to be careful not judge, but correct
okay.
them and bring them back.
Yeah. No. Look. Have a seat.
See it's correction.
Yes, no. Look, have a seat. While I was speaking, I tried to sort of every now and again deal with this little problem. James is not saying that you can't make judgments about what people do or say. He's not saying that. The words he's using are, for instance, slander. Eh? So slander is not a word that you would use with respect to actually making a sober judgment of someone's behaviour. In other words, it's what if you love your brother and your sister and you see them acting inappropriately and you've got a decent relationship with them, then you will come to them and you will try and instruct them and help them see where things are going wrongly. And so he's not talking about making a judgment about people's behaviour. He's talking about, I think, in the way that Paul does in, I think it's Romans 12 or thereabouts, when he talks about Jewish people judging Gentiles, Gentiles judging Jewish. What they're doing is they're sitting in a superior position. So that's part of the problem. They're sitting as though they're in a superior position, which none of us are really in. And they're not so much inclined to want to help the brother and sister as to actually feel good themselves by pointing out the other brothers and sisters' peculiarities or whatever it is, even sinfulness. So you're quite right that it can be tricky to make that distinction. And tricky for observer. Okay, that's the other thing that you're getting at. That's right. So someone else might look at what you're doing or saying and say, oh, he's acting very judgmentally and he shouldn't do that. He should have been listening to James and some. Yes, so what is the observer doing though? The observer is actually falling into the same trap. The observer is actually saying, oh, I think it's lovely to find someone else at fault. I think I'll go up and have a go at them. See, are they trying to actually help the person? So even if the observer is misunderstood, the observer needs to act out of the right sort of motives themselves. So in a sense, it fits into the same category, but a meta level removed, something like that. Terribly sorry about my hearing. Got any other comments? Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. See, if you look at the letters of Paul, look at James. What is James doing? He's making judgments about Christian people. He's talking about how they're misbehaving. He's having a real solid go. He's acting in a very strong position. But I think you'd have to, in all honesty, say to James, now, James, are you doing this because it makes you feel good? Are you doing this, James, because it makes you feel superior? Are you doing this, James, because you really do want them to be honouring towards God and to experience his grace and kindness? See, greater is his grace. So that, look, James itself is a wonderful example of what's happening. And if we thought we were superior to James, we might say, oh, James, how dare you actually speak to people like this? Yeah, moderate your language, James. But that would be because we would be feeling superior. It's this problem of feeling superior, being superior. See, that's why the text is quoted, humble yourselves in this world before God. See? That's the genuine bit. And he gives grace, he gives kindness, he gives growth, he gives development, he gives increase in love for other people for those who humble themselves before him. Will I just close in my little bit in prayer? Okay. Heavenly Father, it is easy for me, it's easy for any of us to talk about these things and yet not take it to heart. Please, please do not let us do that. Please guard us against the day when we will be so tempted to make ourselves bigger and more important than our brother and our sister and speak about them badly to others. Please preserve us against those days. Make us aware, remind us of things that we've been thinking about today so we'll not fall into that trap. We thank you for your great kindness. We thank you for your forgiveness. Please be gracious to us and point out our errors. And in your kindness, help us to live better lives for you, ones that are more loving towards each other and loving towards you. Please help us. Amen.